Joining us on the show now, a director, a producer, a playwright. We're joined on the air by Eve Branstein. Eve, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm very well, thank you.
Glad to have you on the show. And I'm just going to kick with the lead. We're just going to go in with the lead. You are directing a U.S. premiere of a great new play about one of the towering figures in 20th century history, not because of kind of directly the impact on current affairs or human history, but the amount of reflection that people have given on her life. That's Anne Frank. So you're directing this new play and,
right,
wait for it, a new play.
Hey.
What makes Anne Frank just resonate decade after decade after decade after decade?
Wow, she's every girl and every young boy's idea of what it would be like to be in such a situation, mm, and what it takes to live through something like that. Well, basically, how do you live in a hiding for 2 years? And so it's become a sort of adolescent experience to read it, and I think almost every young person does in school. And it has a great impact, especially on young women who start thinking about all these ideas, especially since Anne was a very young and prolific writer. She was able to outline and tell a story that can be palatable to young people about the period of World War II that was about Anne's experience. And it reflects a lot of what is in contemporary life now, unfortunately. That's how I see it, and that's why we wanted to do this play.
I mean, so much of you start thinking about World War II and the Nazis and Hitler, and you kind of get loaded down, like buried under all of this central casting motif and imagery. But I remember still pretty vividly reading Anne Frank's diaries. And what you're overwhelmed by is just the human scale of it all, that there were just people who were just being people.
It was a world that existed in a little hiding place in,
exactly,
in upstairs in Amsterdam.
I think that her ability to examine the relationships amongst her family members, the difference in all their personalities, how she was able to articulate the frustration of growing up at that time, but also just what most young people would identify with, having overbearing parents, being,
right,
told what to do, all the adolescent issues that she came up against, including, you know, her jealousy of her sister. I mean, everything is there. It's rich with story about the life in a very confined place, but it's like what everybody goes through during these years. So it's very easy to identify with the inner voice. You know, it reminds me of how Catcher in the Rye became the book of a certain next generation.
Right.
And the next generation. You know, it's like you start with Anne Frank, you get into the next book, Catcher in the Rye.
No, the 1-2 punch. Now, I've got to say, the blocking for the play must have been super easy. I mean, it's just all set in one room.
That doesn't make blocking easy.
it's natural theater. It's natural theater. It's all, you don't have to, yeah.
Well, not really. Interestingly enough, the play that we're doing is an adaptation of a 3-hour production.
Okay.
In Europe, it was a big hit over there. It ran, I think, almost a year. And it was a 3-hour play, and it was done on a very realistic structure, a play that was on a set that had 3 floors so that you could get a sense of where the hiding was.
Okay.
It was behind the bookcase. It was in the annex of the building that was owned and ran by as a factory and as an office for the Frank family owned it. They eventually titled it over to their workers, and including the very famous Meep Geese, who saved their lives. This group of people kept them nourished and brought them news and everything on a daily basis. And they were in this annex that was on three levels, and on the top floor was the attic, and they lived in different quarters. But the play we're producing and doing on the stage at the Museum of Tolerance is really a presentational theater. It's not a theater. It's more like a movie theater and a lecture hall. But I decided to do a very deconstructed physical environment, and it really works because, to me, the story and the performance is everything. You know, and, I mean, that's really the basis of good theater. The rest is, you know, aesthetics of production, and we do have some wonderful lighting and projections, but we're not working on a three-floor set. We're working on, as you say, a small confined area, but right. We try to create different rooms and different areas on that stage.
So part of what's fascinating and what's tragic about The Diary of Anne Frank is that you know, as you're reading it, that the family was found and they were trucked off to concentration camps, and all but, mm-hmm. I think, the father died in the concentration camps. But your play imagines an adult Anne Frank living in Paris and reflecting on her time hiding in Amsterdam. How does that play out? Is there a life that she's led? Is there an imagined other life that she had?
We have to interest first with her possibility. It's a what if. What if Anne Frank lived? Mm-hmm. What if she lived to be a 20-year-old, lovely young woman living in Paris, which was one of her dreams, to be a great writer. She wanted to be a journalist. She wanted to be a writer. She had great dreams and aspirations about a future. She was a very complex young woman who yearned for love and yearned for independence, which is sort of a very modern idea, isn't it?
That's interesting.
Giving yourself over to love, and yet terrified that it would suffocate you and not let you be free and grow. So those are that's her voice. When she's at the beginning of the play, we open up, we meet her in Paris, and we see.
And this is only 6 or 8 years later.
Yeah, well, the war ended in 45. So yeah, it's about, she's 15, unfortunately, when she passed. She only died 2 weeks before the liberation of Bergen-Belsen, which is really sad. A lot of these people in this play are all, you know, we learn of their deaths. But she is supposed to, in this memory that she has, which is really sort of like the surprise, and it's a spoiler, so I don't want to give away.
Don't spoiler. No spoilers.
No. It's a spoiler, and I want everyone to come and see what happens. The what if is a great starting point for us.
Now, can I ask you to give our audience the details of the play? When, where, how, where should they buy tickets?
Oh, yes. Well, we're presented at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and interestingly enough, it's in celebration what would have been Anne's 90th birthday this June. Hmm. In fact, her birthday is June 12th, this coming week, and she would have been 90. And it's playing between June 5th and July 22nd at the Museum of Tolerance on Pico Boulevard. They have a wonderful exhibit there, too. The Anne Frank exhibit has been running for a while. It's currently still displaying all these artifacts and a beautiful narration by Haley Steinfeld. So I recommend people come and do a combo ticket.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Eve Brandstein. Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be back with more of The Bigger Picture in just a few minutes' time.